Psalm 83, a song, a psalm of Asaph. O God, do not keep silence, do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they conspire with one accord against you. They make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal, Ammon and Amalek, Philistia, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Ashur also has joined them. They are the strong arm of the children of Lot. Do to them as you did to Midian, as to Sisera and Jabin, at the river of Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, all their princes like Ziba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take possession for ourselves of the pastures of God. O my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. As fire consumes the forest, as the flames set the mountains ablaze, so may you pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your hurricane. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them perish in disgrace, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we look to you, we come before your throne of grace, and we seek your face because you are God Almighty, you are the El Shaddai. You're the Lord, the Most High, and you are the Lord God who fights our battles for us. So we seek you, we look to you, we trust in you. You're God of all power, majesty, God of all authority. And we thank you, Lord, that you are for us. Your holy word says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So we look to you, Lord, and we pray this evening hour, as we seek your face, minister to our hearts, Lord. We ask that you'll open our eyes that we may perceive wonderful truths out of thy holy law, and that you would write your word upon our minds and our hearts. Come and transform us, Lord, into the likeness of your Son. Do this for your name's sake. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this is the last of the Psalms identified with Asaph. The last of the Psalms identified with Asaph. Psalm 50, Psalm 73, right up to Psalm 83. These are the Psalms that Asaph has written. Psalm 50, Psalm 73, 74, 75, etc., right up to Psalm 83. And this psalm describes an alliance of 10 Gentile nations that attempted to wipe the nation of Israel off the face of the earth. Now, some Bible students connect this psalm with the victory of King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, which was the southern kingdom of Israel. And they connect this great victory of Jehoshaphat over a smaller alliance. This victory is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verses 1 and 2. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites and with them some of the Munites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazan Tamar, that is En-Gedi. Now it is quite possible that the historian did not list all the nations involved at that time. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 11, it parallels Psalm 83 verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 11, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Psalm 83 verse 12, who said, let us take possession for ourselves of the pastures of God. Again, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29, we find a parallel of Psalm 83, verse 16, and also Psalm 83, verse 18. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 29, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Psalm 83, verse 16, fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Psalm 83 verse 18, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. But these similarities in these verses are not a final proof that the psalmist wrote about the same event that's described in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Israel has been the object of hatred and opposition since their years as slaves in Egypt, but God has kept his promises and preserved Israel. Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, Haman, whom we find in the book of Esther, Hitler, and every other would-be destroyer of the Jews has ultimately been humiliated and defeated. Now this reminds us that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is likewise hated and attacked by the world. John 15 verses 18 to 19. If the world hates you, this is what Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In his high priestly prayer to the Father, which is recorded in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Now yesterday, when Brother Bernard and I were giving out gospel tracts near Lulu Mall, near Edapalli, I was verbally attacked by a tall, fair North Indian. He was taller than me, fair, and he was speaking in Hindi. Brother Bernard was talking to another person a few meters away, and this North Indian asked me questions in Hindi regarding the tract. It was a Hindi tract, and I began sharing the gospel to him in Hindi. When I began speaking about Jesus, he started arguing, he raised his voice, he shouted, and he crushed and threw that tract, and he walked away. Now, immediately after the man left, a strong wind blew behind me, and that wind caused an iron signboard, which is an advertisement of a shop, to fall right behind me. And that signboard hit my left leg from behind me, but I was not injured. The Lord protected me. I immediately knew that the enemy was at work, and I just kept on praying in tongues and kept giving out tracts. Now I've said this many times before, and I repeat, the real enemy is not the person who is trying to persecute you or verbally abuse you. The real enemy is the devil and his demons that are behind that person. So, like the Jews in Asaph's day, our defense against the enemy is in prayer and faith in God's promises. In the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verses 23 to 31, I read to you, as soon as they were freed, these apostles, Peter and John, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Our best weapon against the enemy is prayer. In describing our spiritual weapons for our warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, the Apostle Paul describes the most essential weapon, which is prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. It is so important to be continually praying in the Spirit as we fight this battle against the enemy. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. Again he tells us in Romans chapter 1 verse 9, God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. You see, he's talking to the Romans, writing this letter to the Roman church, and he's telling them how often he prays for them. Day and night, I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. The world is up in arms against God's people. And what weapon do we have? We have the very armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 18. Please do meditate on that armor, what God has given us. We have the powerful weapon of prayer. Part of the armor. We have the powerful weapon of prayer. So, we see in this psalm, Psalm 83, as Asaph saw the enemy army surrounding Israel, Asaph lifted three heartfelt requests to the Lord in prayer. He is lifting up his heart to God in prayer, and he has three heartfelt requests. First, he says, Lord, see what is happening. In verses 1 to 8, I read to you from the New Living Translation, Psalm 83, verses 1 to 8. O God, do not be silent, do not be deaf, do not be quiet, O God. Don't you hear the uproar of your enemies? Don't you see that your arrogant enemies are rising up? They devise crafty schemes against your people. They conspire against your precious ones. Come, they say, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. We will destroy the very memory of its existence. Yes, this was their unanimous decision. They signed a treaty as allies against you. These Edomites and Ishmaelites, Moabites and Hagrites, Gebelites, Ammonites and Amalekites, and people from Philistia and Tyre. Assyria has joined them too and is allied with the descendants of Lot. Two names of God opened the psalm. Two Hebrew names. One is Elohim and El. Elohim and El. And two names close the psalm. Jehovah and El Elyon. El Elyon means God Most High. The last name reminds us, El Elyon reminds us of Abraham's victory. Abraham's victory over the kings and his meeting with Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14 verses 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, El Elyon, brought Abraham some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with this blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. El Elyon in Hebrew means God Most High. He is the Lord who is exalted far above every rule and authority. He is above every principality and power. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities and powers having been subjected to him. You see that? Angels, authorities and powers having been subjected to him. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 19 to 22. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. For the kingdom of God to advance on earth, for the benefit of the church has been bestowed with the authority that God delegates to it through his son. Asaph was troubled because the Lord had said nothing through his prophets and done nothing through his providential workings to stop this huge confederacy, this huge alliance advancing towards Israel. And literally he prayed, "Let there be no rest to you. Let there be no rest to you." Psalm 28 verse 1 and 2. A psalm of David. David also prays this prayer. "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary." Psalm 35 verses 21 and 22. "They open wide their mouths against me. They say, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. You have seen, O Lord, be not silent. O Lord, be not far from me." Again in Psalm 39 verse 12. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears, for I am your guest, a traveler passing through as my ancestors were before me." Isaiah chapter 62 verse 6. "O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord." It is so important to be continually in prayer as we do God's work, fighting his battles. It is so important to have prayer warriors praying as we fight the real enemy. God's people must be a people of prayer. God's house is called a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56 verse 7. "I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Now, these were God's enemies attacking God's people, threatening God's protected ones. So, Asaph was telling the Lord that it was time for him to take notice and to act. The invaders were so many. They were united. 10 nations, remember. They were united against Israel. And they proudly lifted their heads as they defied the Lord God of Israel. Psalm 2 verses 1 to 5, we find a similar situation. Psalm 2 verses 1 to 5. "Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains," they cry, "and free ourselves from slavery to God." But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. With his fierce fury. They had secretly plotted together, but were roaring like the sea. Psalm 83 verse 2. "For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads." So they're roaring like the sea. Their purpose was to destroy God's people, take possession of the land of Israel. That's what they wanted. Psalm 83 verse 12. "Who said, let us take possession for ourselves of the pastures of God." In Genesis chapter 19, we read of Moab and Ammon. And these were the two nations the incestuous sons of Lot, sons born out of immoral relationship, out of incest. They were the leaders of the coalition encouraged by Assyria, which is not yet a world power. Psalm 83 verses 5 to 7. For they conspire with one accord against you, they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Verse 8. Ashur also has joined them. They are the strong arm of the children of Lot. That's Assyria. Ashur is Assyria. Moab and Ammon would come from the east along with the Ishmaelites. Edom would come from the southeast along with their neighbor Gebal. Ishmael was the enemy and rival of Isaac. We read of this in Genesis chapter 21. The Hagarites lived northeast of Israel and the Amalekites lived southwest. The people of Philistia and Phoenicia, that is Tyre, they were west of Israel. So the enemy came against Israel from all directions. The people of Israel were surrounded by their enemies. Even today, that is the case. Israel is surrounded by enemy nations. So Asaph is praying. Now we hear the next request he makes. In verses 9 to 15, Asaph is praying, Lord, do what is necessary. Psalm 83 verses 9 to 15. Do to them as you did to the Midianites and as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the Kishon River. They were destroyed at Endor, and their decaying corpses fertilized the soil. Let their mighty nobles die as Oreb and Zeb did. Let all their princes die like Zeba and Zalmunna. For they said, let us seize for our own use these pasture lands of God. Oh my God, scatter them like tumbleweed, like chaff before the wind. As a fire burns a forest and as a flame sets mountains ablaze, chase them with your fierce storm. Terrify them with your tempest. Even if Jehoshaphat's situation was not the same as that described by Asaph in Psalm 83, his prayer would have fit the occasion. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 12. O our God, this is Jehoshaphat's prayer. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Asaph remembered some of the great victories of Jehovah in Israel's past history, in Psalm 83. Especially, he remembers Gideon's victory over the Midianites. You find that in Psalm 83, verse 9. In this psalm, in verse 9, and also in verse 11. And the parallel is seen in Judges chapter 6, right up to chapter 8. Then Asaph remembers the victory of Deborah and Barak against Sisera and Jabin. In Psalm 88, verse 9, and right up to verse 10, the parallel you find in Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. He remembers the victory at Endor. Joshua chapter 17 verse 11. The victory at Endor is not mentioned in Judges chapter 4 and 5. But it was a city near Tanakh. You see that in Judges chapter 5 verse 19. Psalm 83 verse 10. Who were destroyed at Endor. Who became dung for the ground. Now this phrase as dung for the ground describes the unburied bodies of enemy soldiers rotting on the ground. The enemy was defeated and disgraced. Oreb and Zeb were commanders, princes of the Midianite army. And Zeba and Zalmunna were Midianite kings. You see this in Judges chapter 7 verse 25, right up to Judges chapter 8 verse 21. The victory of Gideon is called the Day of Midian. The Day of Midian. And this stood out in Jewish history as an example of God's power. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 4. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. So the day of Midian stands out in Jewish history as an example of the power of God. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 26. And the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. As his rod was on the sea, so will he lift it up in the manner of Egypt. In Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 7, we read, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Now Asaph closed his prayer by asking God to send such a victory to Israel that the enemy soldiers would flee in panic and look like tumbleweeds and chaff blowing before the wind, like a forest burning on the mountainside. their armies would be consumed. When Jesus died on the cross, the power of the devil to grip mankind under his control was broken. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. The power of death was broken. Matthew chapter 27 verses 52 and 53. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Matthew 27 verse 54. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." The image of God's judgment as a storm is found in Psalm 18 verses 7 to 15 and also in Psalm 50 in verse 3. If Asaph's prayer seems vindicative, remember, he was asking God to protect his special people, his own chosen people who had a special work to accomplish on earth. Finally, we find Asaph is crying out in verses 16 to 18. He cries out to the Lord, "Glorify your name, glorify your name." Psalm 83 verses 16 to 18. "Utterly disgrace them until they submit your name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and terrified forever. Let them die in disgrace. Then they will learn that you alone are called the Lord, that you alone are the Most High, supreme over all the earth." Before asking for their destruction, Asaph prayed that the enemy would be ashamed and dismayed, and would turn to the, and these people, that they would turn to the true and living God. "Until they submit your name," he says, "until they submit your name, utterly disgrace them until they submit your name." And this is what happened in the time of Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29, we read, "When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them." The fear of God came over them. The armies of the 10 nations depended on many gods to give them success. But the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the true and the living God, defeated the armies and their gods. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That is the first request in the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples. And this must be the motive that governs all of our praying. The Most High God, He is the sovereign over all the earth. He will establish His kingdom on earth. And our constant prayer and desire should be that God will manifest His kingdom here on earth through us, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we live for Him and we await His kingdom being established on earth. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We as believers in Christ are living in enemy territory. I've always said this and I repeat it over and over again. The Christian life is not a playground, it is a battlefield. Our enemies are those who do not love the Lord Jesus. They do not love God's word. They do not love God's church. In fact, they hate God's word. They hate God's church. What shall we do about our enemies who are also God's enemies? We must turn them over to the Lord. How? In prayer. In prayer. We fight the real unseen enemy who is behind the visible enemy. The unseen enemy, the devil, is just using them as puppets in his hand. But we are called to pray for their souls to be saved and that they would be delivered from the clutches of the enemy. And this is what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 12 verses 28 and 29. "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house." In the authority that God has given us, we bind these forces of darkness and we seek God's kingdom to be made manifest. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 12 verse 30, "Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me."
So it is so important that we be involved in God's kingdom purposes. What happens when the visible enemy, the people whom the devil uses, do not repent? What happens to them if they don't repent? One day God's fire of judgment will sweep over them and they will be destroyed. God does not desire that they should perish. God desires that they should be saved. And God is using you and me in the process of letting them hear the gospel and that they may repent. But if they don't repent, God's fire of judgment will sweep over them. Verses 14 and 15 in Psalm 83 compares this judgment to a forest fire and to a hurricane. Psalm 83 verses 14 and 15. As fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountain ablaze, so may you pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your hurricane. Now, why does God judge his enemies? Psalm 83 verse 18 gives us the answer. Psalm 83 verse 18, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. God is the king. Turning your enemies over to him in prayer, that is what you and I must do as believers in Christ. He knows how to take care of them. So we turn them over to him in prayer. For centuries, God has dealt with the enemies of Israel. He takes active part in dealing with your enemies too. When they surround you, what must you do? Turn them over to the Lord and rest in God's care for you. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?